Howdy, folks. Welcome back.
I thought I was going to do that. You kind of...
You have to do an opening on the show.
I enjoy doing the opening, but I thought you had this. I was reading something.
I leave the floor to you.
Oh, no, you told me I couldn't do that.
It's you.
Hey, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news, controversies, and spats between me and my son. It's great. You're going to love this.
It's Friday. Y'all are going to have fun with this one. I got to make a shake here in a second. I reached over and realized that my shaker has zero water in it, which means I cannot make a shake because I'm not going to just chew powder. It's pretty disgusting having to do that.
So I forgot my little blender thing.
We can't get up at the same time.
Oh, hang on one second.
Blender over there. You got a little.
No, I need to get that. That little stirrer.
It's right there.
No, I don't want that. The electric one. Does it have a battery in it?
I don't know. I wouldn't do that on live air. You're going to open it all up and not find anything.
Could you go up to the house real quick and grab me that little spinner thing? Thank you. And there.
All right.
Now, it's all clumpy. It's protein powder.
If you don't have a spoon
I tried.
Dumped it and tried to swirl it?
No, I've got protein powder in there with a purple stick that I really need right now. And I didn't do the stirrer. I'm going to show on the air what we do with this.
Speaking of that, I want to clarify this. The cans are finished in production. They've been shipped. They have been on back order, if you guys have noticed. So if you've ordered them and paid for the cans, the purple sticks in a can, they will be shipping out next week. In the meantime, have these.
Why are they purple sticks in a can? They're not a stick in a can.
The problem is everybody's known as a purple stick. I guess purple powder in a can? Does that make it better?
Acai beverage drink in a
there
can.
There you go. The acai powder mix in a can. It's the same product, just in a can, not in a packet. But so
it's cleaner. But I tell you what, I still like the packets when you go on trips.
Well, we're up there traveling the last three days, and the packets are nice because I don't check in bags. I refuse to check in bags. I will not travel if I have to check in bags.
When I went to Germany this past month, I brought some extra bags. What a pain.
It's miserable.
No.
I've had them get lost before. Stuff get damaged. Had stuff that I needed that I put in.
I had stuff stolen out of them.
About 10 years ago, I decided I was just going to opt out of that option. I was going
to
carry on.
I've got a funny story.
What'd you do now?
No, this is just about bags.
Oh, yeah, about bags.
Because, you know, we might start off with a funny story. We got some heavy stuff to talk about today.
Do we?
Yeah.
Heavy?
I warned you a little
bit. Yeah.
We are on a cruise, and I told Sharon it's in Greece, right? This is like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and probably longer than that. And Sharon and I were blessed to go on a lot of different cruises around the world. And I told her, I said, you know, don't be bringing a bunch of bags. I said, I'm not carrying them. I said, I got my own bags to contend with. Because we had already gone on a couple trips, and the bags were like overwhelming. And I'll never forget, she went over to this trip. We had to stop in London, and she had all these bags. And I said, after I warned her, and I said, these are on you. So she's walking up and down escalators carrying bags that weren't working, by the way. And I sat there and looked at her. I said, I told you. And the next trip we went on, there were like no bags. And it was great. And I thought to myself, you know, sometimes when you go on a bag, I had a friend of mine. He went to Spain a few years ago, got four kids, brought all his kids. And everybody, they brought 16 suitcases with them. 16 suitcases. And what ended up happening is they had to take four taxis everywhere they went because of the 16 suitcases. So you'll look, no, awesome. I have true stories all the time. And that was the last international trip I know they went on. And it was miserable for them. And it's just because they had met Sharon and I for another trip. And once before, we had driven up to Berlin to pick them up. And the back seat was stacked with bags. We had like one bag, Sharon and I did, in the trunk of this car we had, you know, had picked up over there. And the whole trunk was filled with their bags. And then they left us after a week, and they took off to Venice. Now, Venice is interesting. There's no cars.
Your proper per your request.
Thank you. And what ended up happening is we ended up in a situation where,
Well, show me what you're doing. Are you going to make a mess out
of it? Oh, do you want to start selling these? Because everybody's going to want one.
I don't even know what they are. Is it yours? I don't have a frother.
Oh, it spins. And what it does, it eliminates the need for a shaker. That's why I don't want to say anything about it. Because I don't want to try to transfer
trying
this.
Trying to undermine my shakers.
Well,
we're going to have to talk about
look that. Look at that. That was all clumpy. One that's that fast.
I don't know. Mine's pretty good. It's got to put some elbow into it, though.
Okay. But
these don't need a battery.
Well, I brought this frother with me to Europe, and I got used to using it. And so I kind of got hooked on the frother. yesterday.
Shakes are great. Don't be worried about buying a frother. He's trying to outsell my shakes.
No, the shakers are better. But you don't. But Rob Pugh called me up yesterday. Just sent me a text. Said, "Huh, I'm addicted to Purple Six."
Oh gosh.
And I said, "Yeah, me too. I know." And but here's what I want to talk about this morning. Sharon had a friend. Well, the friend's still here on this planet. Sharon's up in heaven. And I sent her a bunch of stuff. She's an attorney, very smart woman. And I sent her some stuff this morning about Power Without Principle, The Rise of the Bully Presidency by John Whitehead, who basically is a conservative.
That's an interesting title.
And I also sent her another one, basically by Chuck Baldwin, The Criminality Buried in the Epstein Files is Worse Than Anyone Thought, and The Degeneracy of Donald Trump is Worse Than Anyone Thought. And I said another one is Trump Using the War with Iran to Bury the Epstein Files. Now, what's interesting about this is this individual that I'm talking about is an attorney. She's brilliant. And I really thought she was conservative, but I went to her mom's funeral, and her mom basically, liked to drink a lot of wine and alcohol. And so I think she was raised in more of a liberal kind of household. But what I'm talking about today are conservatives that have a liberal lifestyle, but have Trump derangement syndrome in reverse. Now, I have another friend of mine over in Orlando. Same thing. Very successful business guy, super brilliant guy. He's got a bunch of patents in his name. The guy's amazing. And, you know, he drinks a lot of wine, but he loves wine. He's got a wine cellar in his house. And
a really nice wine cellar.
I think he told me it was $500,000 to build that wine cellar. It has arches in it with real brick.
It's the coolest wine cellar I've ever been in.
He actually had a brick mason come in from Austria to do it. And so I sent her this information. And so she knows how I feel that, well, let me explain something to you. I'm ultra conservative. I am. But I'm not a Trump supporter because of the stuff that he's involved in and what he's doing. I didn't vote for Trump. But I'm ultra conservative. But I did not vote for Kamala Harris.
And let's clarify, because I want to say something. I want you to go on with this. There's a big difference between being a Trump supporter for the positive things that he's done on certain occasions and being a blind Trump supporter just because he's a Republican. You're going to make every excuse in the book and support everything he does regardless of what happens. Well, big difference.
No, and I sent her the text this morning, and she kind of got kind of little, I'll have to read it to you. And all the while, he's talking about Trump. You know, now I'm talking about doing what he's doing. And all the while making the people of the United States much, much safer. Well, that's not a true statement, but she feels that way because that's what she's been told.
Correct.
Okay. Now I've heard this so many times from conservatives. Okay, this Whitehead guy, nutcase, is just like all the other, quote, excuse my language, batshit crazy Democrats, can't see the forest for the trees. But Whitehead's not he's not a Democrat. That's what we're addressing here right now. Couldn't see a car if it ran over them, blinders on, total Trump derangement syndrome. This one president, listen to Trump, has done more for me and my heirs, both from a safety standpoint and financially, than any other president in history. Now, I don't know where that's even coming from. Period. That fact that he made a brash remark 20 years ago has no bearing, on what he's been able to do for the United States in a year or no less. I don't care about what he said about 20 years ago. I don't care. I care about what he did, if it was true with the Epstein files. I care about But all of those Kamala Harris, Jasmine Crockett, Gavin Newsom, Obama, Schumer, Pelosi, leading Omar and Tlaib, loving nutcases, can say or write anything they want. Well, Whitehead doesn't do that. He's conservative, and he's very, very pro-Christian. And I laughed at her. I said, why don't you tell me how you really feel? And then I sent her some more stuff, and then she says, yeah, that's right. 47 years of total terror regime from the Muslims and hate spewed for us, killing thousands of our soldiers with their effing roadside IUDs, Obama and Biden sending them millions, billions of dollars, and this one man, Trump, had the guts to take them out. But hey, spin it any way you like. Now, Austin, explain to me how a person can be a conservative and be Republican, because I'm going to go into detail with this in just a second, and have a mindset that no matter what Trump does or what he did, and no matter how much of a biatch he is for Israel and Netanyahu, excuse my language, that you're going to support him to this level of fervency. How is that possible? I'll give you the answer if you can't.
There's a couple different options. Depends on the direction you want to go. You got the option of Stockholm Syndrome, where people basically have dealt with so much crap, and basically they're gonna support anything he does at any point in time.
And normalcy bias.
Normalcy bias. You also got the shock, shell shock, whatever we did with Biden.
That's Tavistock shell shock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you got a point where it's like anything's better than what Biden did. The problem with this whole conflict is, I'm not opposed to defense at all. As you guys are well aware, I'm not opposed to war. I'm not opposed to war if it needs to be done. Sometimes you have to have a conflict. What I am opposed to is having just completely nonsensical engagements of conflict that you can't afford in countries we don't need to be in for another country that demands and deems it so. I would ask this question on here with this, lady. What do you have to say about Lebanon, Beirut? That had nothing to do with Iran.
Well, no, she answered that.
With Beirut? Yeah.
She said.
We displaced 900,000 people in Beirut.
47 years of total terror regime and hate spewed on us, killing thousands of our soldiers with their effing roadside IUDs. Okay, no, she hates Muslims. You can tell here right now.
And that's okay. It's her right to. The mm-hmm. difference is she needs to understand from a combat standpoint, a large portion, and you could talk to all the combat veterans you want to talk to. I'm friends with dozens of them. There's always mixed opinions about people, but it's hard to sit there and say that I'm this way because of this when you never experienced anything of it. A lot of the areas that we invaded in the Middle East had no intentions on wanting to get involved with us from a military standpoint. They had no interest in it. We were an invading force. They were the alleged insurgents. Be clear.
Let's. You're right. Let's talk about it for a second. 47 years of IUDs and killing thousands of
IEDs.
It's not an intrauterine device.
It's IED. Flash explosive device. Let's clarify that one.
She said IUD.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, right, you see that.
Okay, that clarifies my entire point of having no knowledge on a topic and trying to be a professional on it.
I'm just reading what she said.
I know you are. It's IEDs.
It's IED.
Yeah.
And
a lot of those munitions were stuff that Russia left over, and they basically rigged them up with cell phones and all that.
Let's talk about this for a second, okay? I got a video that I posted for you guys. It's about the central banks controlling the world, how the central banks control both sides of the war. In fact, the central bank leader in Germany during World War I and the central bank leader in the United States during World War I were both warlords. They were brothers.
Yeah.
No, let me think. I don't know if you do that or not. In other words,
you told me that before, yeah.
Two brothers are controlling both central banks, one in Germany and one in the United States.
They fund both sides of the war.
Well, they got money on both sides.
Yeah, that's what they always do.
And the video is pretty good. It's boring. Oh, God, it's boring. This guy's brilliant, but oh, my God, is he a horrible interview. And I fell asleep. I hate to admit that. I was at the office listening to him yesterday. I fell asleep. But I kind of got through most of it. And finally, he said, it's the central banks that are doing all of this. They control everything from the money to the chemtrails. He went to chemtrails. And then it goes right back to what Klaus Schwab said. By 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And what's interesting, and here's my take on all of this stuff. Now, this is going to be a little bit more deep than you want to go with this, but
no,
we're going to go.
It's Friday, man.
No.
Light today.
No, listen to this.
I do have some multiple powder, though, if you guys need any of this. I'm going to throw in my shake.
Oh, throw some in there for me. I didn't stir it up. I guess I got my thing away. Give me one scoop.
But a little frother.
But the crazy part about it is that when Edward Bernays and Freud were working on this 100 years ago, and they were doing and working on mass hypnosis, is what this is. It's what it is, mass hypnosis. It's normalcy bias. It's forcing the human psyche into a realm that it doesn't want to go.
Accepting something it would never accept.
And they did it also with the Tavistock Institute in World War I, in which they took victims of shell shock who'd been sitting in a trench for years getting bombed. And they basically had
very little with trench warfare.
And what happened to them is this. It split their personalities. Yeah. In other words, in the middle of the shell shock, they would just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be there anymore. And they wanted to find out how this phenomenon worked. And then they started using it with MKUltra.
So dark.
No, this is some dark stuff.
You got to remember, trench warfare was some of the most graphic fighting that's ever existed. Because, you were shoulder-to-shoulder, bayonets, 12-gauge, handguns, K-bars, blades, in perpetuity. It didn't stop
years
while you were getting shelled, while you were moving the trench and digging it out another 5 or 6 feet while it collapsed, while somebody came over the trench. That was some of those graphic warfare.
And they hit you with mortar shells.
And then the beauty, after the mortar shells comes the chlorine gas. I mean, it didn't get much worse than trench warfare. I mean, the medieval fighting, at least it was an open field most of the time, and they had the archers and stuff like that. Trench warfare was just, it was brutal.
I've been in cemeteries over there in Verdun, in France, and I've seen literally hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of crosses.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I can see, from all the bodies. I mean, millions and millions died there. And that's why in World War II, they basically they fixed their fortifications again. Okay. And Hitler said, no, we're not doing this again.
Yeah.
And he went around them for the forest.
And here's another part from a psychological standpoint most people don't understand. One of the reasons why trench warfare is also so horrific on the psyche is because the morale goes to such crap. You don't make any progress. No. You're digging up feet of trenches out months and months and months at a time. You make very little progress.
Last night I watched the beginning of Dr. Zhivago. It's hard to watch in one night. It's a very long movie.
Yeah,
I recommend it for anybody. And they're talking about how the war was going to create such disunity among the troops that they're going to be able to have a Russian revolution. And they needed the war.
Yeah.
And so the czar basically tells all these troops to go die, and they're sitting in these trenches. And finally, the commanders, they won't listen to them anymore. And finally, they just get up and start going home.
Yeah.
And then finally they have another whole regiment coming in as they're basically deserting.
Yeah.
And they have a general there. He's just a pompous jerk, to be honest with you. And they end up killing him. And they take the whole regiment that he's bringing with them, and they turn around and go back too.
Yeah.
Which started the Russian Revolution, which lasted 10, 15 years and killed 100 million people. All right, because they wanted to have the ruling class who was fighting the ruling class in Germany. You have to understand something. These are the aristocracy of Europe. They're the bloodline families.
Yeah.
And they were fighting each other and using everybody else as a pawn in the game.
Yeah.
They didn't care. Because the ruling class wasn't out there fighting. They didn't do that. They weren't there. You know, and so what ended up happening is that finally the Russians said, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. And they turned around and went home because of the trench warfare.
Yeah.
You know, so what ended up happening is, you know, we realized that this stuff is very real and it damaged the psyches of the individuals. And then Edward Bernays, who was alive before that and during that, became the father of advertising and learned how to basically change the psyche of a person into becoming a buying unit and basically having to have the new car, having to have the new suit, having to have the new bowling ball.
Hey, I like having a nice suit.
Okay. Well, we all do. But he changed the psyche of the American population and the population of the planet working with Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud completely changed it. He's, quote unquote, the father of psychological thought, which I think
he's a pedophile.
He's a pervert. He's a pedophile. But he was a Kabbalist. He's a Sabbatean Luciferian synagogue of Satan boy. And so was Bernays. And they worked together to change the psyche of the planet. Now, here's the problem that we have. And I love this woman who basically wrote this morning. She's a good friend. And I mean, I wouldn't even mind having her on the show as far as from a, you know, debate standpoint. I mean, it would be kind of fun, honestly. But the reality is we have to ask yourself, how did this happen? How is it when you criticize Trump, you have Trump derangement syndrome? How is it when you criticize Trump, you become a screaming, frothing, venomous, liberal Democrat? They're completely brainwashed, okay, from communism. How is it that when you say, I don't like Trump because of what he's done, I don't like Trump because of the Epstein files, I don't like Trump being Benjamin Netanyahu's little do-boy, I don't like any of this stuff. We need to have a country that's being run by Americans and not by Israelis. And now all of a sudden you become a bad person because you're saying that you don't like this. And so now you get into I respect her opinion. She's very highly educated. And you start to realize it all goes back to one thing, and this is the one thing that most people don't look at. It all starts in a theta brainwave state with children. Now, you guys listen to me. This is really important. This is why you've got to take your children and train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. She was raised in I don't know if it was a conservative household or liberal household with a lot of alcohol. Okay. And there were a lot of things that were going on in there that probably were things that weren't going on, you know, in a Christian household as far as someone who's really committed to Christ. But I'm not saying that her parents weren't. I'm just saying I wasn't there. But the mindset here at this point, you know, she's like 70 years old, is interesting to me that she's this adamant about Trump being the greatest president in the history of the White House. And my man, who I know in Orlando, who's brilliant, says the same thing. Greatest president in the history of the White House. Now, how in the world can you have the greatest presidency in the history of the White House being basically under the, you know, the direction of Benjamin Netanyahu and taking us into another war? You have to ask yourself these questions, but it goes back into the theta brainwave state. When a child is raised in a liberal household, when a child is not raised, you know, with God-fearing parents who take you to the church and who teach them the way and teach you who Jesus is, they don't understand that teaching when they get older. That's why it's very difficult for somebody over the age of 25 to get saved and accept Christ. I'm telling you that, if they weren't raised in it. That's why Hitler said, give me the minds and the hearts of the youth. One generation, and I'll change the world. You know, and then he had the children fighting in the trenches to the death because they were that committed to him.
Well, that shows you a psychological warfare.
No, and now here's the next step there you got to go to. It's the spiritual aspect of this. Now, this is the part that nobody looks at. Now, I don't care if a person is a Christian, if they're not a Christian, if they're whatever they are. The people that run the planet are Satanists. And when a person is not a Christian and the person has not understood what that means, they really don't care if the person is a Satanist. It's like that idiot who basically was driving that Uber the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Just stupid man. Okay? And the crazy part about this is when you look at this and you see it, you start to realize they don't see things from an eternal perspective. There's an old song out. I forgot what it was called. It was by the same guy. And it said, if you believe in forever, basically life is just a one night stand. In other words, not from a sex standpoint, but from a music standpoint. Okay, you have a one night stand. You have a band that's playing in one club one night. And if you believe in forever, life is just a one night stand. Now, what does that mean? That means that we're going to be here a long time, forever, billions of years. But the vast majority of the people had erased from their consciousness, either through a liberal household when they were being raised, when they were young because of Freud and because of the crazy stuff with the guy who said never spank your kid and all the other stuff. They don't have the information that they needed as a young child to basically learn about Jesus or learn about God. So when they come back in here, you tell them, these people are eating children. They're like, I don't care about that. Why? They don't have an eternal perspective on their minds. They don't see it like that. When you say that to me, or you say that to Austin, or I say that to the bulk of you, the vast majority of you, you're like, okay, these are some sick pukes.
It makes you mad.
It makes me mad, okay? And no matter what happens, these people are not going to be in a leadership position over me, period, okay? This is not going to happen. So you want to call it out. But the vast majority of the people, as long as they're making money and they get what they want, and she mentions this in here, you know, it's best for my inheritance, my children. Now, here's what they did, okay? I'm going to say this. This one president has done more for me, for my heirs, both from a safety standpoint and financially, than any other president in history. Okay, that's how she sees Trump. So it doesn't matter what he did in his past. It doesn't matter what he's being accused of. That's how she sees him. So I could sit here and I could get into a big argument with her and lose her as a friend, which I'm not going to do, or I can bring it up on the show and let you see the dichotomy here. Now, here's what they did with the teachings from Bernays and Freud in the 60s. Here's what they learned. In the 60s, you guys read about the 60s, I was here. We started having college campuses all over the country having massive protests because of the Vietnam War, Austin. Now, stay with me. And people were having their boys and their girls. And this lady has children. She has a daughter and she has a son.
Yeah.
Now, here's what would change this mindset. Trump says, I'm drafting your daughter, I'm drafting your son, I'm sending him to fight in the sandbox.
Go die for Israel. Yeah.
Go die for Israel. And all of a sudden, now they both die. Now, all of a sudden, this lady's not going to look at this anymore like this.
Horrible.
She can say, this is BS. My children are dead because of this. This is what happened in the Vietnam War. We had the draft. I had to register for it. I almost had to go. And we had body bags coming home every day. And, of course, the CIA couldn't let a good body bag go to waste.
No.
They had to pump them full of cocaine.
Heroin.
They put 50 kilos of heroin, 110 pounds of heroin in every body bag, every casket underneath every GI. And those bodies were sacrosanct. They could not be touched.
No, they couldn't inspect them.
Couldn't inspect them. And they brought all the drug money in.
What film was that? They did that in. It was It's a depiction of real Frank Lucas.
Yeah.
American Gangster.
That's right.
Denzel Washington played a crazy role in that film. But they're putting the bottom of the caskets and they're screwing them in with those plates at the bottom, the open bottoms.
Yep.
That's a true story.
Okay, now, so stay with me for a second. So what happens is they learn from that the American people were rioting, people getting shot on college campuses.
Yeah.
They were rioting by the millions, and they said, absolutely, hell no, we won't do this again. You're not sending our boys and girls to die in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
That was all over poppy fields, by the way. And the crazy part about it is when the United States people said enough, the government had to change their policy, and they cut out the draft. Here's the problem that you have. They stopped the draft, so we don't have that precipitating factor any longer. They use people that basically come in from poor-income households in most cases, or officers who have had career history of their families being in the military. And they realize that as long as they keep the draft the way, Austin, and that people go over there and they volunteer and they die, that nobody protests. Because the college campuses are not having to be used now to hide the people who are draft evaders. And the people who have the money, who have the ability to go in and do things, don't have to sit out there and protest and organize stuff against the politicians because their children are dead. So we have two factors here. Number one, the draft is gone. And number two, nobody sees it from a spiritual standpoint.
That's true.
When you finally realize that this is the Canaanite religion that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and they've continually used human beings for food, and they've eaten them, and they've sacrificed. So read the Old Testament if you don't believe me. I'm not going to go into that today. And you finally understand that it's real. This is real. This is not normalcy bias. This is happening. We see that in Jeff Repley's files. Their normalcy bias says, I don't care. Not happening to me, not happening to my family.
Not my problem.
Not my problem, not my poop-throwing monkey. Not my issue. I want to make sure my 401k is safe.
Yeah.
I want to make sure my kids are safe. I want to make sure my family's inheritance is safe. And I don't give a crap what they do. Leave me alone. Let me make money. And let me go down the road. Because I don't believe in forever. And I don't believe that life's a one-night stand. I believe that all this is basically our reality. And we basically can everything we get. We sit on the can. We give the cans to our children. Whoa, did I just say that? But don't get me confused here with eternity and what God did and what Jesus did on the cross. And that's the problem. It's the draft, it's the cross, it's Christianity, and they've taken it away from us. They've taken it out of the schools. They've done everything they possibly can to control us through the narrative of, you need to be on Facebook every day, you need to be buying stuff that you don't need to impress people you don't know with money that you don't have, and you need to shut up, let us steal your stuff, and make sure that we get all your stuff and all of your beans. And if we can't have your stuff, we're going to find a way to put you in jail, we're going to find a way to shut you up, and we're going to find a way to keep all of your goods. Remember, this is the same thing I talked about in Angel Wars that happened in the beginning with Lucifer and his greed. And it was the love of money, Jesus said, that is the root of all evil. It's these people, the avarice, Austin, that they have, the pure, unbelievable avarice, the greed they have is unprecedented. And they've been like that for thousands of years, and they're not going to change. And this is the synagogue of Satan. And you think, well, you can't talk about that. Again, you're blindsided by this. Remember what Mancow taught me. Remember this? You can get huge on radio or TV if you basically are partisan. You're 100% Republican, 100% Democrat. Well, you can't go down the middle. You can't make people think. You can't make them have concrete, rational thought and question both sides of the narrative. Because if you do, they start thinking for themselves and they start saying no to the programming that you're trying to put into them. And that's the problem that we have today. People who love Trump, no matter what he does, the Democrats call it, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. We call it Trump derangement syndrome. The Democrats hate Trump. I don't hate Trump. I just don't think he's qualified to be president. I don't hate Israel. I just don't think they're qualified to tell us what to do in our country. I think we should be run by Americans for Americans and be for Americans and follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
The basis of a constitutional republic, a government by the people, for the people. Not by Israel for their best interests.
That's what I think.
But Joe Kent is now having a full blown investigation by the FBI.
Oh yeah,
they're now trying to indict him.
Yeah,
they're coming after him criminally now because they're saying that his resignment letter is now somehow leaking classified information. You do understand what's happening now. They're going after everybody that says anything about Israel. He mentions Israel four times in his resignation letter. Mm-hmm. I showed you guys yesterday. I played the whole thing for you. I'll even let you guys read it again on the screen while I'm talking to you. He blatantly says, this is a 11 combat tour veteran ranger. Rangers lead the way, and he made sure he made an entire career out of his life.
In other words,
he has no upside to resign and put this out there. There was no upside for him to do this.
So what you're telling me, he's real deal?
Real deal. There's no upside for him to do this. The reason why he did it is he said, this is my conviction.
Was he an officer or was he enlisted?
I didn't look at his whole pedigree on it. I think he was an officer. He ended up going in. I think he went to OCS years after because he had multiple transfers. And so
he said, but look at this. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife, Shannon, in a war manufactured by Israel, how did he lose his wife, Shannon?
It was in Iraq.
Oh.
Yeah. It was in Iraq.
I cannot support sending the next generation off. Remember what I said? If you start losing your children
exactly
or your loved
right.
ones, remember what I just said? All of a sudden, you wake up and fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people or justifies the cost of American lives.
So this section right here is what they're trying to come after him as far as with leaking classified information. When he said early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of American media deployed a misinformation campaign that undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments and encouraged war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and should strike now be a clear, swift path to victory. This was a lie. Then this is where they're getting at him now. They're saying that he basically put out basically classified information that Israelis were doing. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us in a disastrous war that cost our nation the lives of
Iraq
thousands.
War.
Now, there was no classified information leaked in this. Let's be clear on this.
Everybody already knows this.
However, you can't say the big I word anymore at all. Period. Anything.
Well, this has got traction in mainstream media.
This blew up in mainstream media. Because this guy had such a pedigree.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, he doesn't come out and say, I'm going to do my term here. I'm going to finish this off, and then I'm going to retire. He says, my resignation is basically immediate.
And then he has a spiritual revelation, too. Listen, he's already had the death of his wife. Now he has a spiritual revelation. What does he say? I pray.
You reflect upon what you're doing.
That you reflect upon what
and
we're doing.
And who you're doing it for. You know, you're starting to see this complete changeover with the actual politicians that are Christians and actually promote Christ. Like some of the ones, I think, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she was a Christian. She said she was. Her behavior and her actions dictated so forth. She didn't.
Well, her earlier years, she was pretty wild.
Well,
but everybody, hey,
let's be real.
No. Yeah. In my earlier years, it was pretty wild.
I
had a pretty rough time, too, when I was in college. And so the reality is you can't base somebody on their past.
No.
You got to look at their future, what they're
and
doing
their
now.
Current. And then you have this. And this is what
unless they're involved with weird stuff. Trump was mentioned over 5,000 times in the files.
But now you have comments like this. I'm going to play this video. This just came out yesterday. This is Ted Cruz.
Oh, this is Grandpa Munster.
Oh, yeah. Now I want you guys to listen to this, though.
Well, he's gotten fat.
Oh, he's gotten real fat. Oops, I lost sound here.
The phrase Christ is King. Really Listen. Troubled by how the phrase Christ is King is being used. Look, I agree with the statement Christ is King. Although it is being used online in a way that is meant to say, screw you, Jew.
It is not.
No, it's not at all.
Context very directly to say, I hate Jews, and that's almost an online code word. Christ is King is, I hate the Jew.
Is that your view, or why do you say that?
Because you see the people who are saying it, and they're saying it in that context. They're saying Jews are horrible, like they're attacking Jews, and they end with Christ is King to make it sound like somehow there's a biblical basis for attacking Jews. Look, Jesus was a Jew. And by the way, the twisted theology that says Jews are Christ killers, and that's been used to justify anti-Semitism, to justify persecution and murder. Look, as I read the Gospels, Jesus went to the cross willingly. He made the choice to go to the cross, and it was not the Jews who killed Jesus. It was me. It was you. Look, Jesus died for our sins.
Because listen how he tries to spin it. And then he goes back to saying, anybody that says anything about Christ is king, you're anti-Semitic now.
On the punishment that you deserve and I deserve so that we could be covered in his blood and receive salvation, not through works, not through what we do, but through the gift of God. And so the idea of blaming the Jews, and look, to be clear, the precise people who drove the nails in Jesus' wrists and feet.
Romans.
Were the Romans. I don't see anyone being angry at the Italians. They happened to be who was in charge of the government at the time that Jesus was crucified, but it was Pontius Pilate who gave the order. And so I will say the phrase, look, Christ is king, then to be honest, that was not a phrase I grew up with in church, and I was thinking about it the other day. You know, we would say things like Jesus loves you, Jesus saves. That tended to be more. Christ is king is a phrase that seems to have originated online, and it's some of kind of the Groiper folks that it almost sort of invokes images of the crusade, that in the name of Jesus we will conquer everyone else in a way that I don't think is right or biblical.
So that's how you spin everything to start making the Christians.
Now listen to me.
This is why I want to play this video.
No, this is important. I'm glad you played this.
Yeah, this is why I want to play this.
85% of what he just said is true.
Right, exactly.
Now I want you to look at the Bernays part of this.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to give you 85% truth, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you agreeing with me and nodding.
Jesus died for your sin.
Notice he's doing this.
Yep.
He's getting you to nod. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's by the blood of Jesus.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. And see, we were taught this. This what he's doing here. Now, listen to me. This is neuro-linguistic programming.
Yep. That's why I want to play this video.
Okay. You watch him. He's sincere. He's nodding. He's got you nodding. Neuro-linguistic programming teaches you to do this. It's how you control crowds and groupthink. That's what this is. So he's saying, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and you realize that he died for you, and he basically saved you, and as we, as a people that put Christ on the cross, and he went willingly to the cross, you realize that, you know, we're really the ones who killed Jesus. And by the way, you understand, it was Pontius Pilate who gave the order. And because Pontius Pilate gave the order, it wasn't the Jews, it was Pontius Pilate. We understand that. So when you come up with Christ as king, it basically is anti-Semitism.
Whoa!
Yeah. No, he takes 90, 85% of what he's saying is absolutely the truth, and he gets you doing this.
And then he spins it at the end. And what are you doing at the end? You're going, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Christ is king. So all,
and instead of somebody going, slapping you upside the head and saying, whoa, stop. You just twisted this. I know. God, I almost used the name. There's another guy on the alt media, huge. And he does the same feces. I'll say feces. Okay. Biology term. He'll give you 85, 90% truth, and then bam, he pops something in there because he's controlled by he's a CIA asset. His father was CIA. He said that. And you realize very quickly that this is how they program you right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't stand Ted Cruz. Okay, Donald Trump came after him, I mean, big time when he was running against me for president in 2016. And the crazy part about all of this stuff, you start to realize this guy's got some serious issues.
He's bought in favor by AIPAC.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they've already so
let's stop here and back this whole thing back up. Number one, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Period. So if someone says Christ is King, he's the King of Kings.
Yeah.
Period. It's okay. That's not an anti-Semitic statement. The problem that you have here is because of what Israel's doing and their control through AIPAC of the United States Congress, both houses. He's saying, oh, there's nothing to see here.
Yep.
And the biggest problem that you have here, there are a lot of, and he's right, not all Jews are out there doing this. Not all Jews are doing any of this stuff. And the problem is that the Jews that are actually good people and God-fearing people, they're basically saying, hey, we don't want any part of what's going on here.
That is true.
And that's because the Bible says they claim to be Jews. They are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. You've got to differentiate that. Now, if you're a Jew and you want to just be left alone and do your thing, and you're not involved with the central banks and all the rest, which the vast majority of them are not, whatever, who cares? But if you're out there being liberal, being a communist, pushing your narrative, doing all the things you're doing,
and
genociding an entire country, that ain't cool. But the problem is we're not supposed to say that because it's anti-Semitic. But if you don't like Christianity, they could take you outside and behead you. They do that in Iran and Iraq, or they did that over the years repeatedly. They did. They really did. And so you say, but we don't want to be that way. We want to basically love Jesus. They're saying, you can do that, but we get to criticize you. See, everything we want to say about you, he has brought the Crusades.
Yeah. You notice how he tied that in?
How he just tied that in? Now, the Crusades are something that happened 1,000 years ago. I wasn't involved in the Crusades. I think it was horrible what they did.
The Crusades were after the Muslims, too.
Oh, yeah. And so but what Ted Cruz is doing, he's taking all of these facts, because the Crusades happened, and he's spinning them and saying, oh, by the way, if you say Christ is king,
you're anti-Semitic.
Now, because remember something, if you say Christ is king in Israel, it really pisses them off.
That's why he's saying that.
Okay, and that's why they come after you, because they don't want you saying that, because they don't want you promoting the lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember that clip you played of Ben Shapiro?
Oh, yeah.
He was just a Jew, got crucified for his problems. They say he's a demon-possessed sorcerer in their teachings and the Talmud. And the Virgin Mary was a whore. And he never got crucified anyhow. He died in a vat of sewage. That's what they believe, okay? So they don't want to hear the fact they miss their Messiah, and they're waiting for their Messiah to come right now, who's going to be our Antichrist. So we talked about this. Your kids start dying in the war, you get mad. You start losing personal people like that in your thing, you get mad. Or if you don't have a spiritual standpoint, that's the only part you have left that you're unwilling to stand for. If you don't stand for Jesus, who are you going to stand for? If you get Austin, here's the thing. And I think Josh McDowell said this a long time ago. He said, if you're accused of being a Christian in a court of law, is there enough evidence to convict you?
No.
Is there? If you're asked why you believe in Jesus and you don't have the reason for that, that's pretty weak. You need to listen to Angel Wars to find out what he did.
And this is what ties in, and this is part of the reason why I wanted to bring this topic up with this. If you've noticed what they're slowly doing now, with media, with politicians, across the board, they're slowly making certain phrases, certain comments,
illegal.
Certain Christian statements. Mm-hmm. They're now saying, well, those are taboo. You can't say this term. He says verbatim, if you say Christ is king, what you're saying is I hate Jews. That's what he just said at the beginning. Then he went into this long explanation of all the 85% of why he's right. He's allegedly right and gives you real information about Christ and then goes and ties back into it about the Crusades. That was one of the best psychological warfare
games.
That's
phenomenal.
No, he's incredible. I'll give him that.
No, that.
As far as a mind F, what they call that, sort of you just go and you scramble somebody's brain and they're like, oh, well, he's right. I won't say it. Now, what do you do if you're not paying attention and you watch that clip with him? You're going to go, well, I'm not going to say Christ is king.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate Jews. I'm not going to say Christ is king anymore. They do that with little phrases. And here's the problem that happens. Year after year, time after time, generation after generation, you completely change the ideology and the speech of every generation coming up. Because now, kid comes home from school.
Thought crime.
Mom and dad, I went to Sunday school today. Christ is king. Whoa, Timmy, whoa. You can't say that. What do you mean, Dad? Christ is king. No, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. What's anti-Semitism? Well, it means you want to kill another group of people.
It means you hate Jews.
You hate Jews. Well, I don't hate anybody, Dad. I'm only 6 years old. I don't say that term anymore. Multiply that year after year. What happens is you have an entire next generation that will completely self-censor themselves.
That's right.
They won't say what they think. They won't say what they believe. And at that point, how can you have a strong conviction about anything if you can't even verbally state what you believe?
It's grooved. It gets grooved in the brain.
Yes.
You literally create synaptic links that basically say, I can't say this, I can't say this.
Because you just talked about
it. They did it to the Germans. Can't mention Third Reich. Can't mention Hitler.
Can't mention Mein Kampf.
I can't mention anything. And if you talk about any of it, you can be arrested and put in jail, or at least questioned and detained. And they've programmed an entire generation of Germans now to not be Germans anymore and to not have freedom of thought. Not freedom of speech, freedom of thought. There's a difference. They don't want you thinking a certain way because they're trying to program you a certain way. Let me put it to you this way. When you realize, and when you listen to Angel Wars, you'll understand this. Jesus and God say, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. In other words, I created you. I built the universe. I did all of this stuff, and that's who I am, period. And if you understand that, you realize that Christ is king. Has nothing to do with Jews or Muslims or anybody else. It's Christ as king. That's who I believe in. That's who saved me. That's who died on the cross for me. That's who he said willingly went to the cross, which he did. He could have stopped it at any point in time. He came here to do what he did for us, to basically bring us back to salvation by the shedding of his blood as an omnipresent being, which creates an energy field around us that restores our DNA back to the Father so we can come boldly before the throne of grace through Jesus and pray to God and petition him. That's the power of the cross and what Jesus did. They don't want you to know that because they're Satanists. They eat kids. Bunch of sick bastards. Excuse my language. I can't even believe they do stuff like that. I can't believe people even think like that. It's perverted, and that's the problem they do. They've got us thinking that that's all lies. Nobody would do that. No, you won't do that. I won't do that. They do that. And because they do that, they don't want you to know what they do, and they cover it up. And I can't stand it, Austin. I can't stand the fact that Christians see this and go, no, that's not true. He was mentioned over 5,000 times in the Epstein files, and that's with the stuff that we know about that wasn't redacted, Austin.
Yeah.
How many times have he mentioned in the redacted photos and files? And that's the problem that we have right now when you have another government completely controlling us, controlling our money supply, controlling our advertising, controlling our media, controlling our thought. Where do you draw the line?
That's exactly right.
But you need to take your vaccines, and you need to get yourself a doggone IV of fluoride, and you need to shut up and do exactly what we tell you to do and be a good little servant and basically buy stuff that you don't need with money you don't have to oppress people you don't know so you can serve them and serve their greed and then sacrifice your children on their altars. That's what they want, but they don't tell you that. They have somebody like this clown come out and give you a full explanation like that and give you 85% truth.
I got to lighten it up a little bit. Shift get intense.
I wasn't planning on doing a whole show on this. I know. No, it makes me mad.
So I'm gonna play a clip now. This is a comedy to kind of break it up a little bit. It's about a 30-second clip. So this guy goes into his first job.
Is it Chris Rock?
No. He goes in his first job interview, and he puts down one of his accomplishments is that he's read Mein Kampf.
No, he did not.
Oh, yeah. You guys like this. This is funny. It's funny. Don't get mad at me. It's a funny joke. It's a corporate joke, okay? This is funny. It's clean. It's not bad. You guys will like this. You guys will like this. Oh,
man. Mein Kampf. Yeah, a couple times, I guess. A couple times? Were there Easter eggs in there you didn't get the first time? Look, I'm interested in that period of history, Tom, okay? I skimmed it. Yeah, thank you. And what specifically do you find interesting about that period of history?
The scale. The tragedy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and which tragedies specifically? Europe decimated. 7 million Germans, 20 million Russians, 5 million Poles. Yeah, just checking the till here, Mark, and it seems you're short a few million.
I had to. It's a corporate joke. It was a joke. It's funny. Don't call HR on me. But and here's the problem that you run into nowadays is that nobody can have humor about any of these topics anymore. It's, at the end of the day. I mean, I lost family. Everybody lost family.
There's a famous Jew producer out. His name is Mel Brooks.
Yes.
He made some of the funniest movies you've ever seen. And he said, you got to be willing to laugh at everything.
Yeah.
He did a thing called The Producers, hysterical movie.
Yeah.
Okay, a little too gay, but hysterical. He did Young Frankenstein. He did a bunch of these movies, and they're hilarious. And he wants everybody to laugh at it and look at it and say, hey, look, why don't we think through this stuff and see what we believe and what we don't believe? But let's not make our whole lives dependent upon what one person said or didn't say. That's let's right. go ahead and just look at it and say, hey, this lady who sent me the email this morning, the text, she has a right to believe what she believes.
Everybody does.
She's my friend. I'm not going to try to convince her. It doesn't matter. I could be honest with you. I could talk until I was blue in the face. It's not going to change her attitude. It's just when people have that mindset that they're not going to listen and they don't care about the past, or they haven't had some of their family members die. Like if her son and her children died in this war, it would be, her mindset would be different than this. Or if they got drafted, it'd be different.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if she had a really deep relation with Christ and she started reading these Epstein files, her mindset would be different when she realized we're being run by an ancient Canaanite religion. But that's the point that we're trying to make on this show. I want to bring you both sides of this narrative all the time. I want to go down the middle and say, you believe this, you believe this. Okay. Well, let's see why you believe this and why you believe this. What's the reasoning behind your thought process, and why are you thinking that whatever they do, it's okay? Wow. Do the ends always justify the means, Austin? I don't think so.
Well, I have a new clinical trial that says different about bad multivitamins.
Let's do it right now. By the way, we're a health company. I don't know what this whole show is about.
I don't either. I thought we were doing health today.
I did too.
Blink, blink. Anyway, this study just came out 3 days ago.
Okay.
This is a pretty cool article wrote on. It says, new clinical trial suggested something measurable behind the routine. Older adults who took high-quality daily multivitamins for 2 years showed slightly slower biological aging, equivalent to about 4 months less over a two-year period.
That's a big drop.
Versus those who did not take any multivitamin at all. It's a daily vitamin, younger DNA. Biological aging refers to how well the body's system functions relative to a person's chronological age. The study published in the Journal of Nature Medicine examined whether high-quality daily multivitamins containing mix of multivitamins, minerals, supplemented could influence biological aging. They analyzed data from 958 randomly selected older adults with a mean age of 70 who participated in the supplement multivitamin outcome study, large ongoing randomized clinical trial. It goes into detail. I don't have a lot of time left on the clock because we covered a lot of topics today. So basically it says, compared to participants taking placebo, those taking high-quality multivitamins showed slower aging and two epigenetic clocks linked to mortality risk. The effects translated about 4 months less biological aging over those 2 years. The other three showed
that's almost 20%.
That's huge, right? That's why I want to cover this. And so what it does is, and it goes into detail here, how the multivitamins work. It says multivitamins may simple by correcting subtle nutrient insufficiencies that quietly undermine cellular process involving in aging, including inflammation, oxidative stress, and DNA repair. And this is why we go into detail why you don't have to go crazy sometimes with supplementation, but you've got to be feeding your cells to get the inflammation down. Inflammation is the root of almost all diseases, the actual base root. When your body gets inflamed, when organs get inflamed, nothing works as it should. So you start having DNA damage and cellular damage. And the problem is, you can have damage. Certain things can be exposed to, but you've got to give your body the raw nutrients in order to repair them.
And an interesting thing that we discussed the other day is the same receptor sites that pick up omega-3 fats and pick up omega-6 fats.
Correct.
Okay, so if you're dumping a bunch of corn oil and safflower oil and canola oil,
a bunch of soybean oil
into your body, it attaches itself to the same receptors that pick up omega-3s.
Yep.
And so then when you put the omega-3s in, these receptors are already clogged up.
Now they're fighting to try to get in there, and they can't.
And they can't. And that's the problem. That's why it takes several years, if you've been eating a lot of omega-6s, to get that stuff cleared out of your system. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a minute because these are fat-soluble. They stick in your body.
Correct.
Okay, and including they stick themselves into these receptor sites. That's why it's so important that you avoid corn oil, safflower oil, soybean oil, canola oil. The other day, we were at the hotel. The perfect example of what I did. We're at the hotel, we're at a Marriott, and we were in the lounge upstairs.
They got the
breakfast lounge.
And they always have the powdered scrambled
They've got
eggs.
The nastiest eggs on the history of the planet that they cook in canola oil. They're disgusting, okay? That's why you want them to cook you eggs in butter. So I went over to this lady who was working up there, and I said, what are these cooked in? She said, well, they're cooked in canola oil. She's bragging about it. I said, that's really a bad oil. And I said, can you make me some eggs that are cooked in real butter? She said, well, I got to call the kitchen. But we can do that for you if you want. I said, well, I've got an allergy to omega-6 oils. By the way, you do too. We all do. And I said, can you please make me some eggs and butter? She goes, absolutely. I will call the kitchen. I will meet you downstairs. I will go to the kitchen because I know you're checking out. And sure enough, we went downstairs. Yeah. I checked out. She walked over to me with a bag full of eggs, scrambled eggs,
and it's
cooked in butter. And I split them with Austin.
And you can tell when something's cooked in butter.
No, it tastes
it
butter.
Always tastes completely different. It should have made them. We split them, and it was good. It was a great meal.
And I gave her a nice tip, by the way. Chris, just make sure you tip people. Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. And I can say this with experience. It's not associated with ignorance. His experience with real-world time for over a year and a half working as a server. I don't know why. I don't know why. Post-church, noon lunch, Sunday.
Nobody wants to work
their
shifts.
You have to be so stinking cheap. Everybody fought to not have the after-church shift when I worked there.
That's right.
The restaurant. I run one of the most successful Steak and Shakes in Florida. The company's not what it used to be, but it was when I was in college. And we made money. The whole shop made money. The whole restaurant. I run the whole thing from top to bottom. And nobody wanted to be there after 12, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And I'm not saying that being derogatory. I'm saying everybody's like, there was a worse sales and basically tips was Sunday afternoon. You'd come in, you'd have a group of people from church, like 6 or 7 people, 8 people. Real nice, friendly. You'd come in, so it's Steak and Shake. You know, there's like a $60, $70 bill, and this is back in like 2006. And you get done, and they go, well, you know, we're going to go ahead and leave you a track for a tip.
That's a Bible track.
Bible track. I love the thought. Except you're not doing it because you're trying to get me saved. You're doing it because you're too stinking cheap to leave a dollar on the table or $2 on the table. And by the way, my truck doesn't run on tracks. It runs on gasoline. And there's only one way to get back and forth to work. That's burn fuel. And I'm giving this some of the best service I can provide, and you leave me a track. And then the worst it got is when it'd be like a $60 bill and they have the extra change. And it'd be like a couple nickels and some pennies, and they leave it on the table. That is beyond insulting to anybody. So if you're going to go out and you want to experience lunch and you don't want to do dishes and you want to get waited on, don't be that church group. It's it makes you look unbelievably bad as a Christian.
Well, then they say, well, I couldn't afford to leave a tip. If you can't afford to leave a tip, go home and cook. Don't go out. If you're that broke and you're that cheap, don't go out. You don't need to be eating out anyhow. I've got a restaurant that I go to, Acropolis, over in Ybor City. I mean, every time I walk in there, they're all happy to see me. They all want to wait on me because I always leave them big tips. You think, well, why would you do that? Because I want them to be happy to see me.
And don't base it off percentage.
No, don't do that. Don't get it.
You go for a snack and you grab it. You know, you grab a water, a drink, or a, you know, whatever, and you grab food. And the bill's $20. Well, I'm gonna leave 15%. Dude, really? You sucked up a whole table for an hour and a half. Leave 50%. Leave $10 on the table if they're good servers. Now. If they're unbelievably derogatory and they're rude and they're unbelievably bad servers, that's a completely different story.
That's different.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like the other day, I was at a restaurant in Orlando, and me and Lana were eating. And we had probably one of the best servers I've ever had. He was bringing me stuff before I even could ask him to ask for it. Oh, I got you this. I said, I didn't ask for that yet. Well, I already figured you wanted it. Okay, come back. I already got another waters, another drinks, another food, another this. I'm like, okay, I go to the bathroom. All the food's laid out. I'm like, can I go up? He's like, it's already here on the side. I said, golly, dude. I said, I'm impressed. I said, I was a server. He's like, I've been here for 6 years. This is my career. I said, I could tell. And I gave him a very, very, very good tip. It was a very small meal. I gave him a bigger tip than the bill was. Put it that way. Because I didn't order a bunch of food. But be aware of that. Be cognizant of that. And especially if you want to promote Christ and you want to talk about Christ, throw it through your actions, too. Don't be that guy. Don't be sitting there giving 50 cents on a $50 bill because, I can't afford to go out. Anyways, I digress.
But it's true. By the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. And by the way, Purple Sticks, Austin and I are on
these cans will be back in.
And I'm on both Powder and Mopal this morning. Hey, if you want to have a really good, healthy lifestyle and you want to basically live a long time and basically feel great while you're alive, take the powder multiple. It just shows you. It decreases aging by around 20%. And it'll make a big difference. So if you're 70, you'll be back in your 50s.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I brought up that article on here. When you have research that comes out and we're giving you the cheat code to this, it's not like we're telling you, hey, you know, you got to do all these different things. Golly, throwing a multiple.
Well, the whole thing is this. I mean, and that's why we ask you to support Health Masters. I mean, we try to bring you truth. We don't sugarcoat anything on the show. And we try to tell you that what we want you to know because we want our families to know the same thing we're telling you. I didn't slam my friend who wrote that article. I don't disagree with her thing. I don't agree with her. But I want you to look at her mindset this morning. So I didn't have to do that. We could have said, we're just going to promote supplements all day. We could do that.
Well, I have multiple health articles, including vitamin C. The collagen will be here, too. I have a whole new collagen formula. The old one's in production still, the regular one you guys like. This actually has 3 different patented collagen peptides that are grass-fed. This is a really cool formula. I've been working on it for a while. That'll be coming in probably middle of next week. And so that's, it's called the Collagen Peptides Advanced Formula. Really cool thing I've been working on, and you guys are going to love that. And any of the auto ships you guys have had from the old formula, I'm just going to fill it for that for one time because it's more expensive than the old one.
But a lot more expensive.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, this thing is pretty cool. And you don't need as much of it either like the old one. The old one's still coming in. But this was pretty cool. Advanced form.
By the way, thank you for your support. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for allowing us to, you know, think about you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being in church on Sunday. Thank you for just, you know, buying your supplements from us and allowing us to be here. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here, period.
No.
And always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Have a great weekend, and hopefully I'll see you in church.
The vitamin C is on sale for product of the week. If you guys wanted it, just a little tidbit at the end.
Vitamin C?
Vitamin C, product of the week.
Love that
stuff. It won. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Stay healthy, stay strong. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Appreciate you guys.